Let's turn today to the second letter of the Apostle John. This is a very brief letter, and yet the Holy Spirit has seen fit to include it in Scripture, and therefore it has a lesson to teach us, for all Scriptures given by inspiration of God. The second epistle of John, the elder, that is John himself, to the chosen lady, a sister perhaps whom God had chosen, one of his saints, and her children, whom I love in the truth, perhaps a widow, with her children who had come into the faith, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. John is an apostle who speaks much about the truth that will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. He's sure of that. From God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Notice what it says, that Jesus Christ is distinct from God the Father, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. John does not confuse the Father with the Son. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. John is the apostle of truth and the apostle of love. He says, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. And he explains here what he means by walking in the truth in the remaining two or three verses. What does it mean to walk in the truth? And John had obviously come across some of the children of this God-fearing sister in different places or in some particular place, and he was very glad to find that her children were walking in the truth. He says, now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. That is what it means to walk in the truth, to love one another. All our understanding of the truth is finally to lead us to the place where we live in love with one another, where nothing that another brother can do or another person can do can move me out of love, that I remain in love because that's God's nature. And further, another part of walking in the truth, verse 6, and this is love, that we walk according to His commandments, that we keep God's commandments, that is how we prove our love to God, and horizontally, in the horizontal relationship, that we love one another. To love God, that we prove by keeping His commandments, and loving one another. This is all that John has to talk about. Jesus said, this is the sum and substance of all the commandments, all the law and the prophets hang on these two, to love God with all our heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that which Jesus said was the new commandment, to love one another as He has loved us in the brotherhood. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. This is the what it means to walk in the truth. This is the commandment which we have heard from the beginning. And John, writing at perhaps the age of 95, says, this is what we have been preaching for 65 years, in which we continue to preach. And this truth will be with us, verse 2, forever. There is no modification in this message. Love one another and walk according to His commandments. Will people say this is not possible? There are many deceivers who have gone out into the world, verse 7, who say it is not possible to obey all His commandments. It is not possible to live always in love towards others. If we look at our flesh and see how weak our flesh is and how strong the lusts in our flesh are, we shall say that is impossible. To live always in love, to live always keeping the commandments. And that is because we do not see that Jesus Christ has come in this flesh and made a way for us. He says here, many deceivers, verse 7, have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. The antichrist is The one with the capital A, Antichrist, is one who is going to be a world ruler in the time just before Jesus returns to earth. But that spirit operates in many people, even within the church. It's the spirit of self-exaltation. It's the spirit of lying. It's the spirit that's against the truth. And this spirit will not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Because it is when Jesus Christ came in the flesh that he demonstrated through his life, where he was tempted in all points exactly as we are, without sinning, being tempted in that flesh in which he came, with the lusts and desires in the flesh just like we have, and without sinning, that it was possible, even while having a flesh such as ours, to keep the commandments and to love one another. That is the point of Jesus Christ having come in the flesh. That it is possible, even with such a weak flesh such as ours, full of such lusts and desires that are contrary to the will of God, it is still possible through the power of the Holy Spirit to mortify all those lusts in the flesh, the deeds of the body, so that we can love one another and walk according to his commandments. And when people do not acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, this is a deceiver, who therefore tells you that we cannot keep the commandments at all times and we cannot keep ourselves in love at all times. Watch yourselves, he says in verse 8, that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. He says God's got a reward for you. If you faithfully walk in that new and living way that Jesus opened up through his flesh, mortifying the deeds of the body through the power of the Spirit, as it says in Romans 8:13, you will have a reward. Behold, my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. But you have begun well, you have listened to my doctrine, John says, but be careful that you don't get deceived and begin to take sin lightly. Begin to take disobedience to his commandments lightly. Don't take a cooling off to fervent love in the brotherhood lightly. When fervent love in the brotherhood begins to cool off, it's serious. You have lost sight of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. When you don't keep the commandments, you have lost sight of Jesus Christ having come in the flesh. Watch yourselves, keep yourselves, that you might not lose what you have accomplished. It's possible to gain ground and then to lose it. We find that in the book of Joshua, followed by the book of Judges. In the book of Joshua, we find the children of Israel gaining ground in Canaan, killing the giants. In the book of Judges, we see them losing the ground they have gained. And that's possible in our battle against the flesh as well, that we fight wholeheartedly, stand against sin and gain ground, and then lose sight of Jesus having come in the flesh. Don't fix our eyes on Jesus who endured the cross and turn our eyes away from that, and we lose ground and go back and are defeated again by the sins over which we once got victory. He says, be careful that you don't lose a full reward that you can get. Our aim is to get a full reward, to make the most of this one life that God has given us, to follow faithfully in the footsteps of Jesus, who has come in our flesh and opened a new and living way for us. And he says, anyone who goes too far, in other words, anyone who does not stay within the limits of the doctrine of Christ, of the teaching of Christ, does not have God. When a person doesn't stay within the limits of proclaiming that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that we are to keep his commandments and love one another, and gets taken up with all types of tangent issues, side issues, gets taken up with them as though that they are the main things in life, it's very dangerous. It's easy to go astray. That's how a person can lose his reward. But one who remains in this teaching, which teaching is that? Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, verse 7. We are to walk in his commandments, verse 6. We are to love one another, verse 5. If you stay in that teaching, then you have both the Father and the Son. You have both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, does not bring this teaching that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that we are to keep his commandments, that we are to love one another, do not receive him into your house. Don't think that is Christian hospitality, to receive a person into your house who does not bring such teaching, who comes in order to infiltrate the church and corrupt it. Do not even give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting, who for the sake of diplomacy says, God bless you, brother, participates in his evil deeds. Yeah, we have to be careful. We have to be willing to offend people because we stand up for the truth. And then John says, there are many other things I want to write to you, but I do not want to do so with paper and ink. But I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be made full. Our joy. I'd be happy to see you and you'd be happy to see me. This is how it is in Christian fellowship. The children of your chosen sister greet you. We see here in this short epistle how John was so eager to proclaim these three things. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. We must keep his commandments and we must love one another. In a nutshell, the entire teaching of Christ.